This is Emily Thomas, and you are listening to the Mom Struggling Well podcast. Hey guys, welcome back. You have got episode 111 of the Mom Struggling Well podcast here. And today I'm going to talk to Laura Casey. She does a lot of things. She started Southern Weddings magazine. She's written several books. She created something called Power Sheets, which I personally use to help me figure out what's the most important thing. I think a lot of you, and I know from experience that I struggle with not knowing which great thing to do because there's so many options. So her Power Sheets have helped me for several years. And in fact, they are coming out this week. And they usually sell out, so I have it on my calendar because I am not missing it again this year. I missed it last year. So I really appreciate what she does to help us figure out how to make the largest impact in the most important areas. And so I wanted to bring her on to talk to you guys today. Something that she struggled with is thinking that her worth comes from accomplishments. Me too. She talks about practical steps that actually turn around an overwhelming encounter. She tells us about a big picture question that gives her immediate perspective and what we can do to tend to what we've been given instead of continuing to want more than what we've been given or different than what we've been given. I think you're going to love it. So let's go ahead and jump right into my chat with Laura Casey. I don't know if I'm confident you don't remember, but probably like 4 years ago, I met you at the Influence Conference.
Okay, because you look super familiar to me, and I knew your name, and I never know if there's like another Emily Thomas, so that makes me feel better.
Yeah. Well, okay, don't you work with an Emily Thomas?
I do. I work with an Emily Thomas, yes.
That's also kind of confusing. Yeah.
Yes.
Very funny. We just had dinner together, but there was like 20 people there, so I feel like I know you, but I totally don't know you.
We know each other. Meeting in person is great. Okay. That's awesome.
It is more than some people that I talk to on a regular basis.
I'm so glad. That was one of my favorite experiences. That conference was like a turning point in my life, and it was just awesome. It was great.
Really good. Yeah. Okay, so I have so many hard questions for you, just like application stuff, you know? But I just want to start with, who are you? Will you tell us who you are, please?
Yes. My name is Laura Casey Isaacson, and I am the mom to three, one through adoption. And I had two under two, and now I can't because I have one that just turned two a few days ago.
Oh, man, you got to have a new thing to say now.
I got to have a new thing. But I have three wonderful kids. I just started homeschooling one of them today, this morning.
Wow.
And I also am a business owner, so I run a publisher of Southern Weddings magazine and Cultivate What Matters.
Yeah, so you started Southern Weddings.
I did. Yeah, almost 10 years ago.
That's crazy. I see it in the store and I'm like, I like know who started that. That's so weird.
It's still weird for me too when I see it on newsstands, honestly. It's a little out of body, like, how did God give me this path? And I never would have expected this.
Yes. So I'm a little familiar with your story from reading Make It Happen. And that time we had dinner together.
It was great.
From 15
Long
feet
time
away.
Ago.
We were so far away, I couldn't even talk to you if I wanted to. But anyway, so I know that you are like, just correct me if I'm wrong, but you've always been kind of like a goals girl, and to the point where it got you in trouble sometimes. And I can, like, you're my sister in that way, in the curly hair and in the over-goaling way.
Yes.
And so now after Make It Happen, that was like when, just tell me in like a sentence, what pivoted that caused you to be able to write Make It Happen? What's that about?
Yeah. So it's interesting you say that you perceive I'm a goal person. I'd say that it's easy to think that now because that's what I do, is I help people to uncover good goals and take action on them. But it came because I went through a season of overworking. And when I say overworking, I mean like working 24/7. So working at the expense of my marriage and my health and everything under the sun.
And your marriage went to a really bad place.
It really did. And it was because at the time I thought that my worth would come from my work and not where I know to be true now, which is from my identity in God. And so I chased after that. I chased after bigger, faster, the whole nine yards. And it really just led me into the ground. So to answer your question, it flipped on its head because I realized that nothing I was doing was actually working. that quick fixes were not really fixing anything. They were making things worse. And so God really wanted me to learn how to tend to things little by little and how to cultivate my life rather than how to force things to happen.
Yeah, it's huge. And I get that. And I, as somebody who I'm better than I used to be, which I think that's great, but part of reading Make It Happen, and I know you're not in here to talk about that, but that book was a little uncomfortable for me because I identified so closely and I could see that you had kind of pulled away into a new way of life and I couldn't figure out how that applied to me.
Yeah, it's tricky.
Not that you weren't making it clear, but like the actual, I've closed the book and now I'm looking at my dishes and all the things. And I'm just going to go. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And I think that there's so many things that contribute to that feeling of overwhelm where we just think, man, my life is just such a mess. Like, where do I even start with this? Like, I know I'm supposed to slow down. I'm supposed to enjoy life more, you know, and that sounds great in theory. But in practice, like you said, you look around and you're like, the dishes are overflowing. My to-do list is just crazy. And so you really have to take a step back. And practically speaking, that means maybe you do look at your to-do list and you say, you know what, I'm just going to put this on pause for about 5 minutes. Even 5 minutes can make a big difference with this.
And 5 minutes sometimes feels like impossible.
It feels impossible, yes. Yeah, and it can feel like an eternity, though, when you're using it well. So maybe that just means like stepping out on your front porch, even just for 5 minutes. Maybe if you have kids, like the kids are just watching a show for 5 minutes, it'll be worth it. And you step out and you ask yourself the question, where do I want to be when I'm 80 years old? Because we get so focused on the narrow, the immediate or what we perceive as urgent to-do list and what we see in our lives and our environment as mess. And we are fixers, especially like us as entrepreneurial moms, like all of us, we want to fix things. We want things to be perfect in a way. But if you just step away for a minute and get some perspective, ask yourself that question, suddenly when you come back to the to-do list, you might see some things on that list that don't so much matter. We think things are urgent until we get a reality check.
Okay. And so you're saying the stepping away is the reality check. You know what I think is interesting? As you're talking about that, I was thinking of a camera when you're talking about perspective and, you know, stepping away and stuff. And I think when we're moms, it's so important that we can narrowly focus because we got to keep those jokers alive, right? So if we just like had the broad focus all the time, we're like, oh yeah, I'll eventually get to feeding that guy. But first I'm going to do this other thing. You know, first I'm going to do the dishes. Like we really do have to have that narrow focus. But like a camera is not that great if it can't also pan out, if it can't focus on, you know
true.
What I mean? And so I think—
That's a great point.
I don't know. It's just, it's important. It adds value. It does not diminish value to be able to take a step back and gather a different perspective. Because I think I'm most valuable if I focus in and get this task done. That's where I have value.
Yeah, it's interesting what happens too when we have some sort of life-altering experience. And when I say this, I'm trying to explain too that we don't need those life-altering experiences, those life or death experiences to be able to give us perspective. We should be able to just ask ourselves, like I said, that big picture question of where do you want to be when you're 80? But my husband works, he works in a hospital and he works mostly with terminally ill people, people that know they're going to die at some point. Gives me chills to think about it because these people have perspective for the most part. They know what matters and what does not. And that's not to say we need to have very, you know, black and white thinking that, you know, things like creating a life-giving home is not important. You know, when you're in the throes of cancer treatments, obviously there's different life stages and perspectives, but it is very important to think in that way, regardless of whether or not you're in a hard situation, because the truth is we don't know if we're going to be given tomorrow. And this day is important. We don't have to do it perfectly to make the little by little things that we do add up into something really good when we're 80 years old.
So that makes the whole gardening and cultivate everything. It's just perfect, right? And so how did that come about? Like, when were you like, oh my gosh, it's all gonna be about gardens?
It certainly didn't happen by accident, although it felt like it did at first. But in that season that you had mentioned where I was working 24/7 and trying to chase after these quick fixes, I actually had bought an orchid for my desk, you know, like one of those little orchids you get at Trader Joe's, and they're so cute when you see them on the shelf. And my life was really a mess at the time, and I didn't consciously think this, but kind of subconsciously subconsciously, I think I thought to myself, if I get that and stick that on my desk, that's going to make me feel some sort of satisfaction. Mm. That's going to make me feel whole, even if it's just for a moment. It's just like online shopping or acquiring things. We think they're going to complete us for a moment.
Well, it's like a little life, right? So something refreshing. Yeah.
It's like refreshing. Exactly. It's like a beautiful little thing to sit on my desk when I felt anything but beautiful inside. And so long story short, I brought that to my desk. It lost all its blooms within like 3 days because I had no idea how to care for things.
Mm-hmm. And the Trader Joe's people weren't coming to water it like you had hoped.
It's really sad that they don't come with you.
I know.
So that orchid, I actually just put it in a corner in my bathroom. And this was almost 10 years ago now. I put it in a corner in my bathroom and just left it there.
Dead?
Yeah, almost dead, like brown leaves.
Okay.
I just thought, well, I have no idea how to bring this thing back to life. I'm just going to leave it there. And I almost threw it away until life started to get shaken up a bit. And I started to think differently, think big picture rather than small, narrow mindset.
Okay.
And it's almost like my body was just going through the motions at first. But I walked into that bathroom one day. I took that orchid out of that dark, dusty corner and I stuck it up on the windowsill in the light. And I started to do what I'd never done before, which was tend to it. And little by little, I would come back and I'd water that thing. And I would do this, Emily, over the course of 2 years. I would come back to that thing. And it was almost like that orchid was mocking me every time I came back. It was like, haha, I'm never going to come back
still
to life.
Nothing.
Yeah. But I just kept coming back. I kept wanting to have hope that this thing could come back to life. And obviously, it was a parallel to what was happening in my own life and in my marriage, too, is that little by little things were reviving. And then I remember the day that I went to water it again, and lo and behold, there was a flush of green in that orchid's pot.
What?
Oh, it's crazy because right now, as I'm talking to you downstairs in my kitchen, the orchid has like 25 blooms on it, and it's been happy and alive ever since. So this gardening thing didn't start because I just picked it out of thin air. It became a craving. As my heart was being changed, I started to have this insatiable desire to cultivate new life, not just plants, of course, but to cultivate the things that I've been given, things that are already in my care. So before, when I was in my make it all happen days, make all the wrong things happen days, it was, what can I do that's going to be big outside of myself? Instead of, what can I do with the things that I have been given and tend them well and grow them well? So that's where that change happened.
Huge. Okay, I want to pause for a moment and tell you about one of this episode's sponsors, Free Day Popcorn. Christmas is going to be here before you know it, and we all know that it can be tricky to find stocking stuffers that are unique, that either won't end up in the trash or aren't full of sugar. So I have to tell you about something that me and my kids experienced that we loved. Free Day Popcorn has popping ears. You pop the popcorn in the microwave. I don't know if you guys saw my Insta story about this, but you just put the ear of corn in the microwave and it pops. It kind of gets all over your microwave, but there's no butter or anything in it, so it's not hard to clean up unless your kids get frantically excited like mine did, and then they turn it into a mess. But what I love is they call it the ultimate snacktivity, because it really is. It's a snack plus an activity. They love watching it pop in the microwave. I gotta be honest, popcorn's not my favorite, but the reason it's not my favorite is because it gets stuck in your teeth. Well, what I learned from Free Day Popcorn is that since they only sell the current harvest, it's a lot fresher and it has fewer hulls, which are the things that get stuck in your teeth. So it kind of solved that problem for me. Free Day Popcorn is 100% whole grain snack, non-GMO, and gluten-free. And if you don't want all the popcorn going everywhere in your microwave, they also have options that are off of the cob, but I'm telling you, it's pretty stinking fun. So make your day a free day and visit freedaypopcorn.com and use the coupon code STRUGGLEWELL, all one word, at checkout for 20% off your purchase through December 15th. That's freedaypopcorn.com, coupon code STRUGGLEWELL.
I gotta say, like, you're pressing on some things that make me uncomfortable, which is good. But even on the power sheets, I didn't get them before they sold out for 2017, but 2016, which I am mad about, by the way. I just need you to make 1 million so that they're always available, please. But the 2016 ones, on the back of the planning part, there's the cultivate, where there's little rows and leaves everywhere, and you're supposed to talk about, it's just for people who haven't done them, what are you going to do that's going to feed your soul, feed the souls of the relationships around you? How are you going to have an adventure? All that kind of stuff. I very rarely fill those out because I'm like, nope, because I'm too busy on the check boxes on the other side.
Yeah,
I don't see why that's valuable. I just don't think I have time for it. Or I'll write it down because I like to fill things out and it's not filled out. If, you know, the cultivate side's not done, it's not done.
Yep.
But I don't ever really go back and do it. So I love the idea of how uncomfortable this is making me must be something.
Yes. Well, it's true. I think so many people think that, and I thought this too, that dreaming is bad. And there is most definitely a type of dreaming that is bad. I can say that with all confidence. But for me, what I've discovered is that cultivated dreaming is about that big picture of what is going to matter to you when you're 80 years old and what's not going to matter to you. And then the way you connect it to today is, what are you doing about it today? Mm-hmm. If, you know, relationships, for instance, are one of the biggest things that I hear from women and moms specifically that will matter to them when they're 80 years old, having cultivated the hearts of their children, having a strong marriage, whatever it is. If that's what matters to you today, then why are you focusing so much on growing your social media numbers over those other things? Yeah. Why are your priorities out of line? And it's easy to be there. Like, it's totally easy to get sidetracked. But the thing is, if we have no vision for where we want to go, how are we ever going to get there?
Yeah.
If we have no map, you know, how are we going to get there? So the way that I look at it is that we were created for seasons. This is just another one of those garden metaphors that perfectly fits in life, and that your goals don't have to be for all of time. We get so scared to set goals or to dream because we think we won't be able to rise to that standard, or we won't be able to sustain it, or it'll call us to do things that are outside of our comfort zone. But the truth is, we were created for seasons. Like, maybe this goal and dream you have is just for the season, and it's going to prepare you for the next thing. So there's a lot of freedom in that, and it actually ends up simplifying your time and your schedule and your life because you don't have all the unnecessary fluff around it.
Yeah. So do you kind of divide that? I know in your power sheets, you do it kind of like 3 months, right? Is that, would you consider that the season?
Yeah, I'd say so. That if you kind of go with the literal seasons, it's very helpful. Those seasons are there for lots of reasons, but they can really help us to frame different parts of our lives and give us a fresh start. So yeah, every 3 months is about the time frame that I start to refresh my goal.
Yeah, it's great. I always loved that refresh one. Yeah. You mentioned, so obviously intentional goal setting is your other big deal, which is the power sheets we've been talking about and stuff. So with intentional goal setting, another thing that tripped me up about the power sheets, and I did not ever know what it was. I just, every month when I'd redo the goals, would be like, oh, why is this not sitting right with me? Because I would either write down things I always do. So I don't really need to check that off. I always do it. It's a no-brainer. Yeah. Or I would put too many goals and then I'd feel like a failure. And so every time I was either on one side or the other, dissatisfied with them, but knowing it was a great tool and not being able to figure it out. Well, as I was preparing this, there was a quote that you had that it's okay to grow slow. And I was like, no, it's not, Laura Casey. And then it occurred to me what my problem was. I was trying to put all the goals in the 1 month. Or nothing that's really a goal, something that's just a regular task.
Yeah, it's hard. We think in extremes many times. We think it has to be all or nothing and that there can't be a middle ground. And the truth is, the middle ground is where things actually grow. Even if we can't see it or feel it, there is life happening below the surface. The power sheets, and whether you have power sheets or not, it doesn't matter for those that are listening. But it really, it's about having a list of priorities. And that's why I created the power sheets for myself at first, because I have a to-do list. I have a big company that I run. I have a family. I have all these things. And I couldn't figure out a way to keep all my priorities in front of me all the time. So that's where the tending list and the power sheets, which is our really the keystone page to the power sheets, came in. And that's where you write out your monthly, daily, and weekly priorities. So rather than it being a to-do list, a thing where you check things off, and really, actually, the new versions don't even have checkboxes. They actually have progress bars. So it helps to simplify too. So you can just, instead of saying, well, I didn't fully do the thing I thought I was going to do, but you know what? I did make progress.
That is,
you can
so
put a
good.
Little sticker there. It's very helpful. So again, whether you have power sheets or not, the idea is to have your priorities in front of you because it's so easy to forget.
I love the progress idea because I do struggle with but I did most of it, but I didn't do all of it, so I can't check it. And gosh, there's so much going on in this brain.
Right, and then you feel like a failure.
I don't like feeling like a failure. Okay, so I just want to ask you very practically, though. Like you said, you've got this company, you just adopted a kid, you've got three kids now. You just wrote your second book, your second one, right?
Yes. Yep, you got it.
Someone like me on the outside, we want to go, but is she really living as unrushed as she says she is? Or is this just like brand, you know, we're just trying to keep up the image?
Yep. That's a good thought. Yes, I think the answer is yes. And when I say yes, I'm not perfect and I never claim to be.
Right.
And I share very openly on my blog and in my books the heart of why I do what I do. And to answer your question, I don't do it all. There's that. So I have a wonderful caregiver who's here with the kids while I'm working. I have an amazing team that I work alongside. So I'm not the one answering all the emails and doing all the work behind the scenes. And that's really been from the beginning, is that people always ask me, like, how do you do it all? And I say, I don't. I just don't. I have an amazing team of people that I work alongside. But having said that, I do work very hard. And when I say work hard, I also mean I really work really hard for my family. And I don't mess around when it comes to distractions.
So tell me what that looks like.
Yes. So these are not like rules by any means, but they're things that I intentionally choose so that I can do other things.
Okay.
So for instance, we don't watch TV. We just like keep it out. We do have, whatever it is, the Amazon Fire Stick for the kids if they need like some TV time while I'm doing something. But I personally don't watch TV so that I can read books that help me to grow the things that matter in my life. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, I'd just sit in front of the TV and I'd waste away.
Yeah.
I also try really hard to take care of myself. So I'm a former personal trainer and I don't have a gym membership or anything. I still just work out here at home and lift kids if I need to. But my health is very important to me. We also don't go out a lot. So there's that. We're not like a big traveling family with all these little kids. And mm-hmm. we spend a lot of our time, rather than doing social things, we just focus it mostly on our church family and on our immediate family and on being with the kids, because my husband has a busy job too. So there's a lot of little things in between there, but we just try to keep it to the priorities and keep it to the essentials. Okay. And keep all the fluff out too.
And do you then focus really hard on work when you're working? It's hard with moms who work at home,
but
I guess if you have a caregiver, that's nice.
Yeah, I have a caregiver and she's wonderful, but that's one of the things that I love so much about working from home, is that I am with the kids a lot during the day. Mm-hmm. So I'm coming down at least 4 or 5, maybe 6 times a day to be with them and hang out with them or help work through an emotional challenge or help them with, you know, lunch prep or whatever it is, help homework, anything. So yeah, it's a unique life, I'll say that. Mm-hmm. But we try to keep it simple. So yeah, the answer is yes. I practice what I preach. And part of that is knowing that I need God's grace and that I mess up a lot and that I am in progress. I'm a work in progress.
Yeah.
That's one of the things, is that we never reach a finish line. And I love that now. I used to hate that. I used to think, oh, I haven't arrived yet. But now I relish that I'm still growing. I'm still learning.
That's good. I'm coming along behind you, Laura Casey, but I'm not quite there yet. So I love watching your journey and going, okay, maybe in the future I'll be like that. I think that's just good for us to remember, because sometimes we see them saying one thing and doing another thing. And
yeah.
Since your whole thing is living like wholeheartedly and unrushed and all that, I just, mm-hmm. I'm happy to know that you actually are. Not that you'd tell me. I mean, honestly, you wouldn't tell me if you weren't. Probably.
No, and it's funny because I think the perception when people think of an unrushed life is a life where you're sitting on your couch. I mean, on the weekends, I am never sitting down because we're just chasing kids all weekend.
Yes.
But that's the thing, is I have found a different way to rest. And that frustrated me at first when I first had kids, especially all of a sudden having three kids at once, because we had 2 6 months apart from each other that came into our family.
Yes.
Was not having any quote unquote time for myself.
Yeah.
And you find it. I mean, for me, it's 5 o'clock in the morning when I wake up and I read my Bible in bed. And that time may last 20 minutes, but I've just learned to really soak it up.
Yeah.
And I try my very best to be a really efficient, effective person for the things that matter to me.
Okay, we're going to pause for a moment, and I get to tell you about episode sponsor, RX Bar. I don't know if you've had these, but they're amazing. I get them delivered to my house in big boxes, and I eat them all up. Well, listen, they have come up with ones for kids. The RX Bar Kids come in three flavors, chocolate chip, apple cinnamon raisin, and berry blast. They're perfect for any time. They can be in the lunchbox, breakfast on the go. We are usually having breakfast on the go because we cannot get in gear fast enough. So they're perfect for that, or an after school snack, or even in the glove compartment of the car for when your kids are starving and acting a little bit crazy because of it. So I am in this neat place where I get a lot of stuff in the mail that just comes to my door for me to try, and my kids get a little ticked off about it because that's not fun when packages come and they're not for you. So they were really happy when these kids RX bars came, and they could not wait to dig into them and try them out. What I love about these is they are made with egg whites, fruit, and nuts. They're 7 grams of protein, no added sugar, no gluten, soy, dairy, or bad stuff at all. My kids really actually liked all three of them, but they did prefer the chocolate chip because they're kids, but they would happily eat any of them. And I have to tell you, when they're not looking, I will also happily eat any of them. For you who like the regular RX bars, these are great because they're a little bit smaller. So if an RX bar was hard for you to finish the whole thing, that wasn't my personal problem. But these are great smaller sizes and they taste fantastic. So you can find them at Target, or for 25% off of your first order, you can go to rxbar.com/MSW and use promo code MSW at checkout. So that's rxbar.com/MSW and enter promo code MSW for 25% off your first order at checkout. Okay, so what goes on in your head when you're in the day and things are getting a little, you know, stressy? What kind of helps you get that perspective back so you can have that unrushed sense inside of you?
Yeah, I ask myself that same question I asked you before, which is, does this matter? Is this going to matter when I'm 80 years old? Are these like narrow things that I'm so worried about or so caught up in or so stressed about, are they going to matter? Does that point to where I need to be using my resources and my time and stewarding my money and relationships and everything I've been given? Well, it does it point to that? Yeah. Because all of our decisions have an arrow attached to them, and they either point us in one direction away from that or directly toward where we want to go. There's no in between there. So that's what I think to myself is, is this really going to matter in the big picture?
Okay. And then the transition from kind of finding your identity in all the doing to finding your identity in what God says is true about you.
Yeah.
A lot of times to make a change, we want to just stop the bad behavior, quote unquote, bad behavior, and start the good one. But so much we have to like do the good one and the bad kind of falls away slowly. What did that transition look like for you to, because I feel like when people say, oh, my identity is in Christ, like, that's cool. How does that practically,
what does that mean?
How do I get that, you know, for, for a mom who's struggling?
Yeah. So my story is a very broken one. My husband and I went through, like you had mentioned before, a really rough time in our marriage. And that also included infidelity on both sides in our marriage. And man, even just saying this to you, I'm just amazed at how different we are now. So the answer to your question is, and it wasn't a single moment. I don't want this to sound like it was a single moment because it was definitely something that happened over time. But I do remember a single moment when both of us had confessed to each other and we just sat there and I immediately thought to myself, it's going to be okay. Like, God still loves me. He still loves me in my mess. And there is a lot of mess on the table here. And there was a lot of, you know, counsel we had to go through after that and definitely years of healing that emotionally. But for me, people ask me like, what keeps you so motivated? Why are you so energetic? And my honest answer is God's grace. It's not like a fluffy answer. It's the fact that I was really messed up and a really different person. And God said, you know what? I can give you a fresh start. And so when I decided to leave that life behind and move forward, I felt it. It's like a, it's hard to explain God's grace to people because it's not like a thing that you see with your eyes necessarily. I hope people perceive it in me and then they see God because of that. But if it was a thing we could see with our eyes, there wouldn't be faith involved. And so it is for us, it was the leap of faith to trust that, you know what, maybe God's grace is a real thing. And we know that to be true, that God's grace is what makes us want to sit up in the morning and tell the rest of the world about it because it totally changed us.
Yeah. Absolutely. That's so good. Another passion that you have is not just to have people be unrushed, but to get people unstuck. And it sounds like, you know, that was a stuck place for you.
Yes.
And so is your way that you help people get unstuck talking to them about the grace that you've stood on in your own personal life?
I think God uses many things throughout our stories and teaching to help people in different stages of life. But I'd say the place where I tend to always start, which is a really practical, I don't want to say easy because it can be hard, but it's a practical way to start, is you have to first know where you are in order to leap to what's next. Okay. And that's simply answering the question, how are you? Like, we so rarely actually say the real answer.
True.
And I had a friend several years ago who sat with me in my kitchen. I was in the middle of writing my first book, Make It Happen. And she said, Laura, how are you? I said, oh, I'm fine. I'm good. I'm good. And she said, no, Laura, really, like, how are you? And what a gift of time and attention that is when somebody asks the question and really wants to know the answer. Mm-hmm. And it also works in reverse too. When you tell someone the real answer, when you trust enough to be able to lay your burdens in their hands, and I'm the type of person that I don't like doing that naturally because I don't want to burden people. I don't want people to think I'm crazy. I don't want people to feel like they have to fix all my problems. Yeah. I want to be in control. But when we ask the question and want to know the real answer and then give the real answer, we give that gift right back to the other person. Mm. And that's the best place to start, because so many times we try to start a new project or embark on this new health journey, or we're not going to yell at our kids anymore, or whatever it is, instead of looking underneath the surface at, wait a minute, where am I right now? And why were those maybe negative things happening in the first place? What's the root cause of this weed that's growing in my life? Mm-hmm. And again, just like out in my garden, I can't just lop weeds off at the surface. I have to get to the roots of them first. So the place to start is always, where are you? How are you? And that's the foundation.
Do you still do those like retreat things?
Yes, we do twice a year, and just once a year this year, because we're about to launch our 10th anniversary issue of Southern Weddings. We have a conference here in Chapel Hill called Making Things Happen. And our next one is coming up this coming March in the spring.
So exciting. Making Things Happen. And it's really small, right? It's like
it's pretty small. Yeah, it's only 60 people tops. And we have breakout groups throughout that time too. And it's a 2-day experience to help you uncover good goals. It's like doing power sheets in person and walking through many of the steps that I outline in both of my books to do exactly what you and I just talked about, which is, where are you right now? Let's dig into some of those fears and things that are holding you back. And then on day 2, we start to do some dreaming, some cultivated dreaming, and start to put an action plan in place. So it's a very different type of workshop than any other conference workshop out there. There's nothing like it, really. It's not like a how-to. People are going to tell you how to run your life. It's about you. And you're there to do the work, and we guide you through the work.
Well, yeah, and I have experienced it when you were at the Influence Conference years ago. Yeah. It was powerful in that room. I couldn't believe the things you were getting people to say out loud.
I'm so grateful. That's awesome.
Yeah.
It was a really awesome experience.
It really was. And so that I've always wanted to go to that, been like, wow. I mean, I think this could really be something if we did this for 2 days. It could really be powerful personally.
Well, this will be our 9th year. And this will also, I think I'm going to get this number wrong, but I think it's our 56th time doing it.
Okay.
So we've been doing it for a long time, since 2009. And the work has definitely changed over the course of those years, because I have changed. Mm. Rather than helping people to make big things happen, we're helping them to make the right things happen.
Okay. That's got to be neat. I was going to ask you, as you change, do you look back at your previous stuff and go, oh man, I wasn't, not that it was wrong, but that I would do it different now. Obviously you are.
Most definitely. I read some of my old blog posts, and it's like, it takes everything in me to not delete them, because I have to remember, like, this is such a good reminder of how much grace has changed me. And when I say grace, I think there's a lot of wishy-washy grace out there. I'm talking about transforming grace, like being given a completely new start in the mess. I read some of those posts and I'm just amazed at the change, and I didn't do it.
So good. I want to go back to homeschooling.
Yeah.
And you just started that with your oldest, who is how
old? Almost 6. Yeah,
almost
she's going into kindergarten. Yeah.
Okay. So are you going to like take it, I'm assuming, a year at a time and see what happens?
I'm pretty committed to it.
Okay.
We're pretty committed to it for the long term for all the kids.
Okay.
But we are taking it gradually as far as getting into it. So there's a great homeschool school here too, where Grace is going to go two mornings a week and they do things like math labs and science and stuff like that. But the rest of it is in my hands. So the language arts, the reading, the geography, history, all of that, we're going to do two, a little bit more than half days, but two half days a week. Okay. And then probably increase as we go on.
What do you have to kind of pull back on to make time for that?
I have to be a lot more efficient, and I already am. Like, I do a lot with work. I'm juggling a lot of balls and hats. But over the last year, and that's the thing, you can't do it all and do it well. Like, whether you're listening, you have a business or not, it all applies, is that you have to be able to say no to some things to say yes to something better. Mm-hmm. So for me, that means I'm not doing any more live broadcasts every week. I'm doing some of them, but I have to really corral that time to do my, what I call my CEO tasks, which is really running the nuts and bolts of the business. And then my content tasks, like doing live broadcasts or writing posts or whatever it is, I have to give other things up too. So I can't do like every interview that comes to me. I can't say yes to everything. I also, many years ago, like I guess 4 or 5 years ago, stopped doing speaking in general, except for my own conference. So it really is about like saying no to some things that are even good things. Yeah. I just have to say, I can't do it in this season of life. This is more important to me right now.
Yeah, that's great. It sounds like the homeschooling that we do as well. And it does offer a lot of great flexibility.
Yeah.
And you still get to get your hands in the mix. And
yeah, it's great.
And then they go away sometimes. And that's also fun. Mine are older. And so I'm like, bye. There was on the first day of kindergarten, the sweet moms were all standing around in a little huddle crying. I should say they were in like a puddle. They were just so, sad. And I was like, walked out and I was like, peace. And they were like, you're so strong. I'm like, it's not strength. I'm just
experienced.
Experienced. And I'm exhausted, y'all.
Yes.
These kids need to go to school.
Uh-huh.
Oh my gosh. So self-care. I mean, even efficiency, even saying no to all the things, you have a lot on your plate, as does any mom. And so you still need to figure out ways to, you know, do some sweet things for yourself. And so what do you do?
I really relish, this maybe not sounds like the wrong answer, but it is the answer, which is I just relish being outside with the kids.
Okay.
So it doesn't even have to be time away from the kids necessarily. Like we have the two youngest that are napping at the same time right now. So even just getting to spend some individual time with Grace is really sweet. Yeah. But something that we've done in the last 6 months is we started having date nights every week.
Okay.
And we made that, we shifted some things and made that a priority in our budget. And we have some amazing friends that reached out to us and they're like, you guys need this.
Okay.
We will come babysit for you. So once a week on Mondays, we have a date night, and that has been so good for our marriage. It's almost like after the last 3 years of pregnancy, miscarriage, adoption, the whole nine yards, we are now getting to unwind a bit together.
Good.
So that's been really sweet for us. And then in the mornings, I do have all the kids with me, but we take a walk every morning in the neighborhood. And so I load them up in the stroller. We've got this little kick plate that goes on the back of the double stroller. So me and three kids and like all the food.
Oh, yeah.
We go in our stroller bus and take a walk and just getting some fresh air. It sounds so simple, but it's just so helpful.
Oh, it is. And then they're looking at stuff and seeing stuff. And
that's great. It's great. And then some mornings, if it's cold or rainy, we just turn up the praise music and dance in the kitchen, which sounds like a stereotypical type of thing, but we really do it and it's really fun.
It really is actually fun. I know. I was always like, whatever, but then I did it and I'm like, hold it. This is awesome.
Actually, this is fun.
Yes, it is actually fun. It is hard to find something that everybody can really enjoy themselves, but music and moving your body however you feel like.
That's the best.
It's fun for
everybody. And being out in the garden. It's great. And the kids love to do that too. The two youngest are still a little bit young to where they might eat some dirt, but Grace and I have a blast outside.
That's good. I love it. So tell me, on your date nights, do you find that you just kind of stare at each other like, or do you have a lot to talk about?
That's a really good question. Yes.
Well, yeah, me and my husband both work from home and we talk all the time. And so date nights are neat in that we get to eat different food and I don't have to clean up after it. But we already said all the things earlier in the day.
Yeah, I think that we have such high productivity jobs, both my husband and I do, and he works really long hours. So it is good for us at this point in our lives when we do get to kind of debrief on what each person is doing. But there's certainly moments where we're just kind of like sitting there thinking, it's Monday and I'm so tired. you talk to me instead of me talking to you.
You're on.
But we've actually started to implement some fun like games in our date night. So this week our challenge for each other is we each have to, and I'm glad I said this because I need to do it, bring something to make the other person laugh, whether it's like a funny video or a meme or a joke or whatever it is, so that we can have some forethought about our dates.
That is a great idea. Is there a place you're finding these, or are you just making them up?
I'm just making them up. Just thinking like, what are the love languages that we have? Or if you just think about the times where you feel most close to your spouse, or in conversation, things that really get your wheels turning together, igniting those things is helpful. So for us, it's laughter. We just have so much serious conversation about kids all the time. Yeah. Serious conversation for me about ministry and my job and like CEO stuff, and for him about medicine and taking care of these patients, that we need a little lightheartedness. So it's helpful.
Absolutely. So being a recovering person who finds her identity in accomplishment, do you find that you have things specifically that trip you up and get you headed down that path that you have to go up? Hold on, this isn't what we do anymore.
Most definitely. I am a yes person. Yeah. And I can see all the wonderful potential that we can have. I'm really good at seeing potential in people and in things. Okay. And I know so many things that we could do to either grow our business bigger or make more money or whatever it is. And I have to stop myself and say, is that really going to matter when I'm 80? Is this particular thing or opportunity that we've been presented with really going to help us to help other people? Mm-hmm. And so I got to say no to a lot of things. Okay. And also comparison. I think that's a common one for a lot of people. But when I lose sight of the big picture, I tend to compare myself to other people and think she's doing it better, faster, smarter than I am. Mm-hmm. And I feel behind. And that's the lie that I tell myself. Yes. But the truth is, she should be doing it better, smarter, faster than me, because she's doing her thing. And I should be doing my thing. My own way. So I found a lot of freedom in that this year, and I feel like I don't struggle with it as much.
Well, I love talking to you about all this stuff. It's so good. Okay, so the final question, what can you not stop talking about?
I have been reading a great book recently called What's Best Next, which really goes along a lot with what we have been talking about. And that is, how do you know what productivity really is? Is it really about just getting lots of things done or checking it all off your list? And the essential question this book asks is, in light of the gospel of God's grace, like in light of what really matters in the big picture, what's the next best thing? So I've been loving it. It's so good. It's a big, thick, meaty book, but right off the bat, I feel like it's changed the way I think about productivity and effectiveness.
Oh, that's great. I feel like I need that book too. Awesome. Okay, so I have one more question for you. When do Power Sheets come out? Because I don't want to miss it.
It's October 25th. And I think you are going to really like this year's version. They are definitely super key focused on progress, not perfection.
Okay. All right. I'm putting that in my calendar because I'm not missing that.
Don't miss it. That's right.
Awesome. Yay, Laura. Well, thank you so much. I love talking to you.
Thank you. This was a joy. Thanks for having me.
You are welcome. I hope you found that as practical as I did. I personally loved when she said all of our decisions are arrows that either point us toward or away from our goals. I've really been struggling with that lately. I think I've said it a couple times in different places, but this fall has been so full of fantastic things, but it's been so full to the point where as soon as I'm done recording this, I'm gonna go lay in my bed until I wake up, and that may not be for a really long time. I'm exhausted. So clearly I've got some room to grow in this prioritizing all the good things. So it's really great, her reminder that every decision points us either away from or towards our goals. I've got a lot of thinking to do about that. Which leads me back to why I have scheduled it on my calendar to buy my Power Sheets this week. I think they come out on the 25th. So what will your strategy be to struggle well based on what Laura Casey said? Do you tend to think that your worth comes from your accomplishments, like she said she did? I would really recommend going to her website, lauracasey.com, and she has a lot of really great resources there that can help you. Maybe this week you stop and ask yourself that question, like, is any of this going to matter when I'm 80? What do I want my 80-year-old life to look like? I think we'll find that the things that freak us out the most are not even going to matter a little bit. Laura talked about reframing our goals periodically. I really love that because sometimes we get really excited about doing it in January and then we think, oh my gosh, we just have to wait till January again. That's not true, even a little bit. It would even be worth it, I would think, to take a moment and reframe the holiday season that's about to come up, because that can be where we really burn out. We don't have any money left. We don't have any time left. Our pants don't fit. We're exhausted by January 1st. So maybe you kind of have a look at what you want the holidays to look like and kind of even be proactive in your planning and don't let them just completely overwhelm you until you're mostly dead on January 1st. And I would personally like to say more wise things here, but my brain is completely fried. So I'm gonna sign off at this time. I hope to see you on social media, Facebook and Instagram. I really do love interacting with you. I love meeting you in person. I got to do a lot of that this week. And now I need to take a hot second to myself. I hope y'all have a great week of struggling well.